Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, February 5th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, everybody. Glad to be here.
Welcome to those joining us live as well as to those listening to the archives. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, tonight, we're going to have Dr. Kelly joining us, and we're going to be talking about paying it forward with kindness. But to get us started, Dr. Kelly, it'd be fantastic if you could read our nine principles of belief.
Good evening, everyone. Nice to be here again. Thanks, Sun and Vicki. And yes, I will read the nine principles of belief, the abbreviated version, of course. The first one is do no harm, do right. Second, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Four, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Five, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Six, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. Seven, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. Eight, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And nine, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And you can read these in their full form at our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So it's good to be back with everyone here. I see a lot of people in the chat room and a lot of familiar faces and some new ones. And I appreciate you joining us. Tonight I wanted to talk about paying it forward with kindness. And to get us started, Dr. Hunter, would you read the inner oracle card, number 29, on paying it forward?
I'd be happy to. And I just so happen to have it open. Here we go.
Imagine that.
Yes. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way you can pay it forward right now?
Thank you. So paying it forward is the work that metaphysical humanists do. In fact, it's one of our sacred obligations, number four. I've got them on the broadcast page there near the bottom. But paying it forward is the work that we do. It's an activity. It's something that we try to do at every opportunity. And there's a lot of ways that you can pay it forward, tons of ways you can pay it forward. You look for them and you'll come up with a zillion of them. But one of the ones that I wanted to focus on tonight was kindness, just being kind. And I know it's a kind of an interesting topic because it's like, oh yeah, we should be kind. We all know that. But I want to kind of peel some onion layers off this thing, you know, peel it away and get inside of it and a little deeper into it. We talk about being kindness, we talk about being kind, and then, you know, we lose track of that sometimes and we just kind of revert to, well, you know, that person's stupid. They're an idiot. You know, why do they do that? That's just stupid. You know, things like that. We all do this stuff in our inner dialogue. And that's what I want to address and try to recommend that we how do I put it? To work on ourselves to the point where the thing that our first thought is not that they're an idiot or they're stupid or I hate them or whatever it is, but maybe they're having a tough day. Maybe they've got circumstances that I don't know nothing about, and that's driving their behavior. In other words, giving them the benefit of the doubt. And there's a lot of aspects to this. Being kind. You know, we can always afford to give the other person the benefit of the doubt at least once. You know, and if they keep doing it, then we can talk to them about it or say something in a kind way. It's, you know, paying it forward with kindness is taking the high road. Paying it forward with kindness is not taking ourselves too seriously, not thinking that it's just all about us and our perspective. I know for a fact that, well, you know, we tend to favor what we do or our own perspectives, our own beliefs. We tend to put it in a better light than others. You know, we're seldom wrong, that kind of a thing. People are more wrong than we are. But you know how that is. We do things we don't even recognize. We don't even catch them at times. And other people are probably saying, what an idiot, you know. And that's because they don't know what's motivating us. Maybe we're having a bad day. Maybe we've got stuff going on that beyond our control and we don't know how to deal with it. Maybe we've just lost somebody to death, or maybe a loved one is very, very ill and we're trying to help them or trying to deal with that grief, whatever. The thing is that we want to give people the benefit of the doubt until there's a good reason not to. Now, when I say paying it forward with kindness or being kind, that doesn't mean passive. You know, it doesn't mean that you let people walk all over you. It doesn't mean that they can just get away with anything and you're just supposed to be kind and, you know, take it with a smile on your face and a song in your heart, so to speak. You know, it doesn't mean that. It just means trying to be kind in any and every opportunity that you can. And that starts with our inner dialogue. You know, not being too judgmental. That's another aspect of unkindness, is being judgmental. You know, they're an idiot. They're stupid. Why'd you do that? What an idiot, you know. It's like on the road. That's a good example. We're all driving, and, you know, stuff happens. I mean, we're 99% of the time we're driving fine. Everything works fine. And every now and then, you know, oops, we misjudged that light, or we misjudged traffic or something. We pulled out in front of somebody. It doesn't mean we're an idiot. It doesn't mean that we had any ulterior motives or that we wanted to harm somebody. It just, we're human. We made a mistake. And that's what happens to other people, too. Most people do not lay awake at night dreaming of ways that they can hurt other people or be unkind to other people. They just are trying to go about their life, going about their business. And now I will tell you this, that a lot of people are probably inconsiderate. They're probably not as thoughtful as they could be. But that's an awareness thing. We need to be aware of that. Try to be aware of being courteous, being thoughtful, being considerate, looking for ways to be considerate and thoughtful. And that's going to do us wonders, because it's going to change our own attitude. Our own attitude is going to improve when we're not being so judgmental toward others. You know, my mom used to say, you know, sometimes it's more important to do the kind thing than the right thing. And I think that's a bit of a takeoff from something Wayne Dyer said, a similar thing. But sometimes, you know, we get so adamant about doing the right thing. Well, that's not the right thing. But sometimes people need a bit of kindness than just the rightness. And I would say, you know, being kind is always the right thing to do in any situation. And it takes a lot of strength sometimes to be kind, to not lash out at somebody, to not yell at somebody, especially if we're prone to doing that. And that probably goes double for loved ones. You know, people we live with, we tend to maybe lash out or yell at them or something like that. And it's going to take some strength and discipline on our part to hold ourselves back. You know what they say, count to 10, that kind of thing. But this is important stuff, folks, for getting along with other people. We don't have to ever yell at somebody. You know, 99.9% of the time in life, you don't need to yell at anybody. You don't need to use foul language at them or or put them down, denigrate them. It's just not necessary because, again, they might be going through something that we're unaware of. Even if we live with them, we might not be aware of what they're dealing with, their own insecurities. You know, being an instructor and dealing with so many hundreds of students and reading assignments and reading comments and things like that that they make in their assignments and quizzes and so forth, it becomes apparent to me that we're all the same. You know, we're all the same. We're wondering about what other people are thinking of us. You know, we're wondering about how we're coming across. That's why so many people are afraid of public speaking. They don't want to do that. They'd rather do anything than public speaking because of the them esteem part. You know, they're so afraid of what other people think of us. Everybody's the same like that. Insecure, lack of confidence, and that's something we need to just become aware of and grow through. You know, as we age, we tend to get past that, or we should. But everybody's the same that way. And one of the greatest gifts that we can give to somebody is a good encouraging word. You know, I've talked a lot about riding a bicycle. You know, I ride a bicycle pretty frequently, except when it's so cold like it's been here. And, you know, I say that relatively speaking in Florida. But it's been a bit chilly the last couple of weeks, and I really haven't been able to go riding. But I usually ride almost every day, you know, anywhere between 10 and 20 miles just for the exercise and keep my blood sugar in check. But for the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, I've passed a guy, one particular guy, not every time I'm out, but, you know, once or twice a week anyway. And he's just walking along, and I usually come up, you know, from behind and on the sidewalk, and I say good morning. I yell out ahead, you know, so I don't startle people. And so I said good morning, you know, every time. And he ignores me every time, doesn't say a word. You know, times I've slowed down and looked right at him and said good morning, you know, that type of thing. And he hasn't said a word. And I saw him in the store the other day, yesterday or the day before. I saw this guy in the store, and I went up to him and said, "Hey, I know you. I pass you. I ride on my bicycle all the time." You know what he says to me? "No English." He doesn't speak English. He speaks Spanish. So here, all this time, right? What's this guy ignoring me? Gee, don't be friendly or anything. He doesn't speak the language. You know, he speaks Spanish. So I try to tell him, I'm doing the motions, you know, I'm riding my bike, right? I pass you, and I'm, you know, putting my arm out, you're passing you. And I'm telling you, no English, you know, but he was smiling and all that. And so see what I'm saying? It's like, I could, you know, I've said, why are you so unkind? Why are you not very friendly, you know? And I was wrong. This guy didn't even know what I was talking about. Of course, you know, you'd think good morning would be pretty obvious. I mean, I know hola, but It doesn't matter. He doesn't speak the language. So next time I pass him, he'll know who I am, you know, and I'll say, hola, buenos dias, you know. That's all the limit of my Spanish. But you get the point. It's funny that and I don't remember if I said this, if I told you about this experience. This happened maybe a month ago, and I don't remember. You'll have to tell me if I mentioned this on the previous program or not, but this, it goes hand in hand with being kind and paying it forward with being kind. I'm riding my bike, and I'm you know, on my way home. I'd probably done, I don't know, 16 or 18 miles at the time, and I'm coming up the you know, side streets, and there's a fellow walking down the street, an older man, gentleman, with his like, it wasn't a roller bag, but it was like a one of those shopping cart things, you know, you pull behind you, not a standard shopping cart, but it had his, probably all his worldly belongings in there. He had a coat on, and it wasn't cold at all, but he had a heavy coat on. And I'm walking, or I'm riding, and I pass him, and I say, good morning, you know, and he doesn't say anything. I can see the fellow's homeless, and he's well into his 70s, probably late 70s, and he's homeless. And I'm thinking, man, I've never seen this guy around here before. I've been riding the bike in this area for years. I've never seen this fellow. So I turned around and on my bike, and I went back toward him, and I you know, been asking him, is there anything I can do to help, or you know, you need a ride somewhere or whatever. You know, not on my bike, but I could go get a car. Anyway, he said, no, I don't need anything. Don't want it. Don't want to hear it. I said, okay, well, I just wanted to see if you're okay. I don't need it, and I don't like your bike either. I don't know if I told anybody this. But
I haven't heard this one.
You know, and yeah, I don't like your bike either. I just laughed. I said, really? I mean, this guy was straight-faced. He was mean. He was just downright mean. And I said, I just wanted to see if you were okay, if I could do anything else. I don't need your help. Just, you know, I'm not going to buy what you're selling. That's what he was telling me. And it was he was serious as serious, you know. I'm just trying to do the right thing, the kind thing, you know. And I said, okay. And I turned around and I rode away, you know. But that's his stuff, not yeah. my stuff. His stuff, not my stuff. Any comments from either of you before I continue?
You weren't by chance wearing a pair of black slacks and a white button-up shirt, were you? Because you might have gotten the wrong idea.
Oh, religious person.
Sorry.
No, I had my my cycling shorts
yeah,
on.
Yeah. But it's just people, I think it's a defense mechanism. They're afraid of being hurt by engaging with human beings, so they keep everybody at bay and they put off a gruff exterior. That's not true for a lot for everybody, but I personally know a lot of people that that is very true for. And, you know, the other thing that comes to mind as I listen to this topic, I've said, especially a lot, you know, when I was younger, but I would say, I can hate people, but I can never hate a person. And, you know, it's easy to hate this, you know, faceless group of people that are, you know, that think what can be, you know, to me, monstrous things and, well, maybe about much, but they just are irrationally opposed to what I feel is a rational philosophy. And it sometimes can be easy to hate that thought, but when you're actually in front of a person, you see their humanity and you see them for who they are, flaws and all. And, you know, I find it very, very difficult to ever, you know, hate someone. I don't know if I've ever truly hated anybody that I've personally known in my life in a real way. It's just because when you see that humanity, you realize that, you know, they're just, it's based on their level of awareness in that time. And sometimes you just understand you have different levels of awareness. You have, you know, some different information sources perhaps, but, you know, sometimes you just feel pity. You feel sad that level of awareness is so low that they don't understand why they should be more outgoing or why, or for the actual fact that somebody could just be being genuinely kind, but those are just
ulterior motives.
Yeah. Some of the things I was thinking about.
Well, this fellow, you know, I was kind of taken aback because, you know, how intense he was, you know, and all I wanted to do just see if he was okay. If he needed any money for some food or whatever, but you know, of course the guy could probably be a millionaire, but the point is that, you know, I was kind. I did the right thing and I'm proud of that. You know, it was his stuff. And that's something to keep in mind. It's like, don't catch the ball. I've talked about that analogy. I teach it in the courses. Don't catch the ball. Somebody throws a ball at you, the tendency, the automatic natural tendency is to catch it. Well, you know, we don't have to catch that stuff that's hurled at us at times. You know, let it bounce off. It's not going to kill us. And so it's their stuff, not our stuff. So keep that in mind. If somebody's not treating you very kindly and you're trying to be kind to them, just be kind because it doesn't matter. And that's the other thing that I wanted to stress in this conversation about paying it forward with kindness. Sometimes we think that things matter a whole lot more than they do. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some things that do matter. There are some things that do matter. But you know what? Most things just don't matter. What is it, Plato that said, nothing in the affairs of men is worth worrying about? Well, you know, it's a general statement, and it's true. It's like, you know, public speaking. You get up on the stage and you screw up. It doesn't matter. Oh, we think it does. I thought it did the first time I did, or first few times I screwed up on the stage, you know. I thought it mattered, but now it doesn't matter. You know, you make a joke out of it and you move on. Of course, that's experience too, but that's the kind of stuff we think it matters. And so my challenge to the listeners is, if you think something matters, ask yourself, does it really matter? I made a spelling mistake in my email to somebody. Well, you know, if it's applying for a job and writing a newspaper column, it probably matters. You want to make sure you proof that. And, you know, it's just me. I try to proof every email I send out. And I still, now and again, will misspell something. You know, I just blew through it, didn't catch it, didn't proof it right. Most of them are right, but every now and then one will slip through. And I think, oh, great. Here I am, you know, instructor trying to teach this stuff. Here I misspelled that simple word. Oops. You know, but I hope that the lesson that comes through is that anybody can make a mistake. Everybody makes mistakes. It's okay because it doesn't matter. So think about that. The things that we think matter in life, really delve into it and determine whether or not it really is worth worrying about, really worth stressing over. It's probably not. And so we can save ourselves a lot of stress in that way. And that's being kind to ourselves, isn't it? And so that's a lot of the crux of what I wanted to discuss tonight. It just to reiterate, to put it out there, to be kind to people, put a smile on your face and let them know that they matter by the way that you speak to them, by the way that you greet them. You know, it's one thing to say, hey, you know, how are you? Fine. Or you can just say, hey, how you doing? You know, with a little enthusiasm. So, any comments, Dr. Hunter? Did you have anything you wanted to add?
Actually, while you were talking, I was thinking of Malcolm Gladwell's most recent book that I just read called Talking to Strangers. And the first thing that I remember about the book while you're talking is that we don't read people as well as we think we do. It's kind of like the mismatch where you get all these certain impressions from somebody that you think are in your frame of normal, otherwise behavior, but inside there's something else. And he gives lots of examples, you know, about what that is. But ordinarily we have a thing called human beings have a default to truth. And that we ordinarily believe people are telling the truth, like whatever they're presenting is the truth. And he said there are those who go the other way, you know, who think everything is cynical or smelling out the bad guys and, you know, always negative. And he said we need those kinds of people in society, but when it goes that far, we have chaos. So in our humanity, it's remembering that it's natural for us to default to believe that people are telling the truth, or it's truthful, or to think the better of them. You know, mm-hmm. That's in our humanity. And that we would do better to rethink what we believe is normal behavior. You know, because people are defensive, people are having a bad day. He gives lots of examples about that, by the way, that really it's we don't always know. So if somebody is uptight, as you've described in your examples, Dr. Kelly, that there might be something behind this. And just take your time, push the pause button, as I say, and investigate it, because each of us needs to be a little more responsible in that way. And that restores our humanity.
Good. That's a good point. Now, there's just one. You go ahead, son. I got one more thing I'm going to add.
I was just going to say that's a really excellent point. Agreed.
Good. So last aspect of this that I wanted to touch on was – another way we can be kind is doing things for other people when we can. I remember when I was a teenager, late teens, and my sister would need a ride somewhere. She didn't drive at the time, and she would need a ride to school or something like that for whatever reason. And she asked my younger brother to do it. And he just wouldn't want to get out of bed to do it. And she'd come and ask me, and I'd take her every time. And that was the one thing that we had between us. Not one thing. We had a lot between us. But she always knew that I would help her out. And I was glad to do that because I could. Another thing along the same line is when I remember meeting Tracy for the first time or getting to know her, one of the things that really struck me was how kind she was. She was willing to do just about anything, you know, needed a helping hand, needed somebody to go somewhere and do something. she was willing to do it. You know, can I help? Can I do this? Can I do that? And she meant it. It was all sincere. That made a real impression on me. And so sometimes with kids especially, they might want to do this. They might want to do that. And, you know, parent, oh, I don't want to go do that, you know. And my encouragement to you is if there's not a good reason why not, then do it. It's like students will ask me, you know, can you do this? Can you do that? And may not have a policy on it. And, you know, my policy, my default is, well, is there a good reason to say no? If there's no good reason to say no, then I generally go ahead with it. You know, and if there is a good reason to say no, then I'll explain why. But often it's not something I would normally do. But you know what? If there's no good reason why not, then do it. Go ahead. And that's another aspect of kindness. And so this entire conversation is paying it forward. And again, don't forget, one of the greatest ways to pay it forward is with an encouraging, upbuilding word. It's a gift, and it helps people. It builds them up. And we so need that in these times. Well, it doesn't even matter what decade we're in. We always need that. We always want an uplift. And if we can offer that, then we should. So hopefully some of these this discussion has helped. You found a technique or two or something that you can apply in your life that will help you. And so I appreciate your kind attention.
Well, it's been great to have you back, Dr. Kelly.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's always nice to have you here. Awesome.
It's always a pleasure.
I know our students are commenting on that, too. They're nice to see you here.
Yeah, well, it's great to see them, too.
Well, and doing like this, it's always a nice treat to have you on to have a, you know, really excellent discussion. And, you know, tonight's really hit on a lot of things that I personally have been thinking about, too. So it's always welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Well,
and you have a birthday coming up, Dr. Kelly.
Yeah, next week. When is it? It's next Thursday, week from tomorrow.
Well, early birthday greetings. I'm sure we'll be talking to you before then again, but just to let our students know, too. It's always good to give the teacher an apple. In this case, it would just be like
A gif.
A happy birthday.
Or a gif. I don't want to enter that controversy.
Yeah, really.
But I was going to say thank you for joining us, and we look forward to having you with us next month.
All right. Thanks a lot. We have a good topic for next week. In fact, I'm going to just preload it for next month now, not next week. Next month, the first of the month, when I'm back, we're going to be talking on the dangers of them esteem, which was a topic recommended in One Planet Community by Greg Grove, a student at IMHS. So we're going to tackle that one. So good night,
awesome.
Everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that discussion, too.
Yeah, and for sure.
A lot of them really ties into... Well, everything ties into everything else, but them esteem a lot of times ties into, you know, being able to pay it forward kindness. But anyway, sure I'm sorry I cut you off.
No, not a bit. I mentioned, we get a few names in the chat. I had put it in there. If anybody would like us to draw a card for you, we'd be happy to do that right now, Michael. So who's up first, do you think? I have Wendy. So do we want to do the same thing with the inner oracle cards and then back up with the tarot?
Well, you know, my favorite expression when it, what's the old saying? Don't fix what it's not broken.
Okay.
I'm trying to multitask here. I apologize. I'm looking through the chat trying to get the list of names going. But yes, for Wendy. All right.
Okay.
Let's see. Pulling from the middle of the deck this time. We have number 9, empowerment.
Oh, good one.
With this card, balance and order in life or in a specific area is present or it needs to be. If experiencing adversity, look for what is out of its proper order. Adversity is a state of disorder. Once order is restored, adversity fades. Moreover, self-completeness and success will ensue once order and balance are restored to the life leadership paragon areas of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will.
I was just writing in the chat there. Wendy says, I don't think I was first, so I'm just asking who was because we might have missed your name. But for you, Wendy, in support of empowerment is the page of hearts. So however this works for you in your mind, it's a communicator. Like speaking from your heart, feeling empowered from your heart. Keep in mind that the page is that bridge between the minor and the major arcana. And it was the communicator between two languages, two arcana, if you will. My old teacher would say it would be two tribes that merged together. So I think that perhaps there's something here that you're trying to formulate in your mind, articulate how you're feeling, articulate where you're coming from and seeing, and you're going to find that. So just relax, be yourself, and feel comfortable with sharing yourself and speaking your truth. That's kind of how I see it. I hope that resonates with you in some way. So we have Dr. Shirley next. Michael?
All right, and Dr. Shirley, I pulled number 31, Sacred Obligations. A sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right, pay it forward, nice, uphold individual value, value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change, evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness, promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligations.
Well, what I like about this, Shirley, is the Six of Hearts is in support of that. And I always see the Six as obligations, commitment, relationships. It's there's a lot of things about the Six that reference partnering, how you interact with others. And when you have it, especially with the hearts, that references your friends and family, and maybe it is just a little bit of sorting through some of that. If there's been any kind of stress or dissension, and you're just sorting through what you can, can't do, you know, bits of control, but still being generous of heart, you know. So it is that sacred place in yourself to still remain yourself. So I hope that makes a bit of sense for you. I think that's a wonderful message myself. Sacred obligations is really we are obliged to honor ourselves first and live in that truth, and then how we interact with others. So I like it. I think it's just probably a little reminder for you and a good one. Dr. Jeff is next, Michael, I think, is what I have.
I think we just did Dr. Shirley, correct?
Yes.
I believe we have Sabina next, if I have my order correct.
Oh, no problem. I have them both down. I just wrote them down in the wrong order. That's all right.
Now I have to go back and do my audit again.
Don't worry, Liz. Sabina.
Nope, you're right, actually. You're actually right. I'm sorry. I must have spaced it wrong.
Oh, sure,
Master. Well, I have already pulled one for Sabina. I'm sorry. Dr.
That's
Jeff,
okay.
We're getting them all mixed up. But I pulled number 41, Communication.
For Sabina. All right.
The one thing I did confirm without a shadow of a doubt is that Wendy was first. But
yes, okay.
But communication number 41. The most important form of communication is with the higher self, reflecting on one's spiritual evolution. A good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. A lack of communication will kill any relationship, and this is the most effective method for ending an unhealthy relationship. Assertive communication is direct, honest, empathetic, and focuses on win-win. Communication, along with trust, is one of the two most important relationship traits.
Well, the irony here, or support of, is... I got the Page of Clubs for you, Sabina. As I say, the The pages are communicators. That's what they do. They bridge communicating. In this case, it's of changes. Anything that you might want to change in your life, or you feel like you're wanting to change, and it's, other people need to know that. So I said to a woman years ago, I said, you change your mind without telling anybody. Of course, she thinks it's funny. I didn't think it was very funny. But so it's just being able to articulate those changes to other people in a good way. So if there are changes that you are making in your life or you would like to make in your life, learning to share that with others in a really positive way is recommended, is what I see here. So good for you. Change is natural. It's good. We're always changing. So how you put that forth is up to you. It's a good one. An affirmation, I think. All right, nice. So now we have Dr. Jeff.
All right, we've been building up to it. And Dr. Jeff, I pulled number 22, think for yourself.
All right.
Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others as well as outside popular beliefs simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
Well, Jeff, in support of that, I got the Four of Hearts. Now, four is a number that likes stability, but it still gets restless. It likes to change things up. But in this case with the hearts, I see this as either you feel like maybe something is being lost in yourself, or it is that something's being given to you. So it might be about weighing the pros and cons of certain people in your life or events in your life and deciding what fits or resonates best for you. So that's kind of the message that I'm seeing there. So I hope that makes sense. Angie is next. Nice to see you, Dr. Angie. Everybody's so busy in the chat, too. I can't possibly follow all this, but I'm doing my best to multitask, too, Michael. So, Dr. Angie, what have you got?
All right. I have number 7, self-mastery.
Good.
To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery towards the path of self-completeness.
I got the Chariot. Now, Angie, self-mastery combined with the support of the Chariot, it means going forward in balance of both forces of negative and positive. So you're in the driver's seat, basically. So it's whatever it is that you would like to manifest, make sure that things are your checks and balances, T's, I's, all that crossed and dotted, and then go for it. It's an absolute positive go for it that I see here. And I just noticed, and maybe you're kidding, I'm not sure. You're contemplating running for office locally. I'm going to say I get a visual of a green light, so go for it. There we go. All right.
All right.
Michael, is there anybody else?
We have Audra, I know. And and it has been a busy chat. I've been trying to keep up, too. And Dr. Angie, I did see your question, and we'll look into that. About the technical issue, but I believe we have Audra next. And if we did miss anybody, you know, our apologies, but go ahead and throw your name in again so we'll see it again, and we'll grab a card. But
all right,
Audra. All right, number 33, preference over principle.
Got it.
A mark of knowledge and wisdom is knowing when and how to offer an opinion or voice a complaint. If it is a matter of preference, yield. If it is a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. It's important to know when and where to pick your battles. Be selective regarding the areas in which you invest your energy.
Well, I have the Ace of Diamonds for you in support of that, Audra. So I'm going to go here because the first thought is maybe there's some issues in and around the workplace or co-workers perhaps, or, you know, a situation that's work-related. And really asking yourself, is this a preference or is there a principle? If I am going to speak up, am I speaking up on my own behalf for others because it's a principle, or is it just a preference? And sometimes we have to sit back and say, you know, it's just a preference and it's not my business. And so that's where I'm going with this. So I hope that makes kind of sense. It's just a little reminder that when you're in certain environments, if you will, it's just to check in with that preference versus, you know, principle. So, Wendy says, do we read cards for dogs? I have read for animals. Dr. Angie is our animal communicator. Generally, she's been very receptive to helping folks out. I am just going to say that, Wendy, as you do that, as you've asked that, I turned over the Queen of Diamonds here, and I would say that, I think there's something here that you can assist with, and I'm not necessarily seeing illness so much as I am seeing a little bit of behavior, perhaps, or it's something not feeling well or not thinking quite right. So that's just my thought. So check in with Dr. Angie. She's the better one with critters. So.
Well, sorry to hear that Ghost isn't feeling well. And
oh, the ghost. that's the dog, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. If it wasn't obvious that that was what I was referring to, yes, I am.
Okay. The name of the dog is Ghost.
Which is a fantastic name for a dog. But, you know, dogs are one of the species on this spaceship Earth of ours that I love the absolute most. They are just pure souls and wonderful things. So always wishing the best. I hope that they feel better soon.
Yes. And absolutely. We'll send good vibes for sure. I think that's it. Great show tonight.
Believe it is. And so.
Good discussion. I'm so glad to see so many people join in. And, you know, there's been a comment or two in the chat that, you know, this is a family and it's a growing family. We welcome our family to grow. Glad to see Sabina here and Audra back. And, of course, a lot of our, you know, regular folk. It's great. Recommend it to other people. We love having more people and injecting some new energy. And there's always different points of view. And, you know, we're all here for one another. And we do try to live the example that we, you know, try to teach to others. And that's important. So you're in a safe place. That's all I'm saying.
Life has ups and downs. You know, some days we're going to be better versions of ourselves than others. But the important thing is that we're always trying your best. And
exactly.
You know, as we're wrapping up, you know, it has been a great discussion tonight. It's always excellent to have Dr. Kelly join us for a discussion. And, you know, I think something, as I was going through the cards, this sprang to mind. I came across the card Unknowable, and we'll delve into it more deeply. But I think for next week's topic, we're going to kind of talk about the Unknowable, have a discussion about it, tackle it. And because out of all of the things in terms of what we know and don't know, the Unknowable far outweighs the Knowable. It's something that we as human beings have to deal with. It's a fact of life. It's a fact of this awareness, and it's part of metaphysics. So I very much look forward to that discussion with you, Dr. Hunter.
I think it's a great topic. How do we deal with the unknowable? You know? I think it's... and we have that blank card in the Inner Oracle deck to reference as well, you know? So,
oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Looking forward to it. So,
yeah.
You know, until next week.
Yeah.
We look forward to having you all join us. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Have a good week.